What we were looking at is not the old argument on should or should not. It seems that it's pushed past that. Rather, what we're looking at is, since the last Don't Ask, Don't Tell debate in the early 90s, over 25 nations around the world have allowed homosexuals to openly serve. Many of these nations are our allies in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And so what we said is, well, let's take lessons from that. Let's learn from them. And we actually brought together officers from nations that range from Australia and Great Britain to Israel and Sweden. And in a sense, what are the lessons learned on how you did this? What should we do? What should we try and avoid, et cetera?
Is this a cultural issue? Is that why it's so hard to make that transition for the U.S.?
It's interesting. Almost all of these countries equally had very heated debates beforehand. And yet there's a great quote from the major general in the Australian army who was in charge of this then. And he said, you know what, it turned out to be a little bit like the Y2K issue. This is his quote. There was a lot of bluster and screaming and yelling and plans, and everybody had an opinion about it, but it came and went. And that was it. There was nothing more that was heard about it. It was a non-event, and it continues to be a non-event. And so I think it's one of those things where the cultural warriors care more about it than those in the military who really are focused on, you know, getting on with doing their job and fighting far more important wars than the culture wars of the 90s.
I guess it doesn't matter if you're in a foxhole if the person next to you is gay or not, as long as they got your back.
Well, that was one of the things that just came through repeatedly in everything from the officers in Israel to among the folks from Australia or Canada or Great Britain who served with our troops in Afghanistan, as they said, look, you know, when we talk about cohesion, and that's what people are worried about, is if you allow open service, they worry that it'll jeopardize cohesion. They said at the end of the day, cohesion isn't based on, you know, kind of locker room behavior. It's based on a shared sense of duty, a shared sense of mission. The other concern that sometimes is raised in these debates is privacy. And they pointed out an irony that in the situations where privacy is least hard to deliver, that is in the field, in the foxhole, privacy isn't the top of your concerns. It's back at the base where privacy is cared more about. And of course, that's something that's shared not just among when you're dealing with homosexual service, but heterosexual troops in general. And back at the base, that's something that you're better able to provide. And that's actually an effort that's going on in the U.S. military right now, regardless of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, is how can you improve base housing and facilities to provide more privacy?
Well, let's look at this from a military manager point of view, or a federal manager point of view, albeit not a civilian one necessarily. But if military has to make that transition, how exactly do they go about doing that, making the transition, getting over that cultural speed bump so that everybody who is working together can actually work together and get past the elephant in the room?
There were three things that came out in the lessons learned from the officers from, you know, again, these 25 different countries. The first was leadership providing a strong signal at the start that, you know, if the policy is implemented, we're going to implement the policy. And simply put, that's our job. Second was don't single gaze out. Apply the same standards to everyone. That, you know, this shouldn't be focused on as just one minority, and that should be everything from the expectations of their behavior to personnel policy, who should be promoted, who should not be promoted, that at the end of the day, you apply the same rules to everyone. And then the third was, again, very specifically, focus on the behavior. That, and this was a quote from an Australian officer. He said, you know, our concern is based not on one's race or religion, but and equally, it shouldn't be on one's sexual orientation. It was about behavior. We kept it simple. For example, if a soldier drank far too much or was acting inappropriately, it was seen as inappropriate behavior and dealt with because of that, not because of their sexual orientation or their race or their religion, et cetera. And so I think these are core issues. Now, the challenge moving forward is that the way the studies and the way that the debate is proceeding right now seems to be focusing on that specific thing that's contrary to the lessons learned. For example, there's a Pentagon study right now that's just focusing on homosexuals in the military. And the advice that we're hearing from our foreign partners is put it in a broader context. Look at issues of diversity, minorities, et cetera, rather than singling out this one type of minority.
There's a conflict there, because part of it is you want to focus on gays in the military to learn more about any potential impact on the military cohesiveness or operational effectiveness. But on the other hand, putting that microscope on it makes it worse. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, what the real lesson learned here is you shouldn't be conducting a survey of opinions. What you're looking for is actually the bottom line. And this was actually from a British someone who helped the British military on their integration. And this is what they said about this. They said, quote, "What are we fundamentally interested in? Are we interested in military readiness or military effectiveness? I think so. That's the bottom line, and that's the things that need to be concentrated in and focused on in these surveys. So what we're interested here is not attitudes, but how do you implement it correctly? And again, not a focus exclusively on gay service, but broader concerns of those in the military, diversity, proper behavior, personnel policy. If you're interested in the issue of privacy, don't just focus on gays in the shower. Focus on the broader issue. What are people's concerns about privacy and what can be provided in things like base housing, et cetera? At the end of the day, the lesson learned from the Israelis was don't make a big deal of this. Don't, for example, issue a report that's on, quote, homosexuality in the American military. That's contrary to the lessons of what's worked in their own experiences.
Now, from what you've learned in the report that you have, where does it go from here? Are you going to have the opportunity to present your findings to the Pentagon?
The findings are all available to the public. We've had some discussions with people across the board and everything from on the congressional side to the Pentagon, et cetera. And I think, what's important here is that this is a very heated public debate, and yet it's one that, interest enough, hasn't had a lot of fact injected into it. And so what we were hoping to do is actually say, look, whether you're for or against this policy, there is a set of experiences out there from a wide variety of countries that we can learn from.